This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
To another episode of Women of Odd Enthusiasms, the monthly podcast where we bring you the best of whatever we happen to be excited about right now, be it crafting, cosplay, or computer games. I'm Bria, and this is Emily.
Hello.
Tonight, we're talking about Thor, The Dark World, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Marvel Phase 2. So sit back and relax, because woe is us. Yes, we're back for a third episode.
We are.
We're still not sure how this is happening either, don't worry. But I guess before we get too far into our ramblings and excited squeeing about Marvel, we should probably do a word from our sponsors. The Tashi Station Radio Network is supported by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook when they sign up for a free trial by clicking on the link at tashi-station.net.
We are also supported by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom merchandise just for her. Click the link on the website to help keep the lights running on our podcast.
On that note, there is new releases for Her Universe on Black Friday, and a lot of them are really cool, including a Doctor Who cardigan that looks like a TARDIS. So it's a tardigan. I didn't come up with that joke. It was on the site.
Well,
but it's super cute.
There is some really awesome Black Friday merchandise that it's just really cool, and I want all of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they actually, right now, if you saw the Day of the Doctor, they have up some exclusive merchandise that goes along with that. I haven't looked at it yet because I am avoiding the any spoilers like the plague, because I haven't seen it yet. I'm getting there.
Have also not seen it yet, so I too am generally avoiding spoilers. So yeah.
But you should go check it out because it's undoubtedly cool.
Absolutely. So each month we give you our best recommendations for what we're watching, what we're reading, and tell you about what we're making. So our book recommendations of the month, mine is called The Age of Wonder, How the Romantic Generation Discovered the Beauty and Terror of Science by Richard Holmes. It's a book I actually read for my dissertation, but it's really approachable. So if you are ready to... If you just want to learn a little bit about how modern science came to be, it's a really good book, and it's very easy to read. So that's my recommendation for this month. Bria?
I'm actually terrible and haven't read an entire book this month because I suck and or have been busy blogging and or busy sewing. So I'm still kind of working my way through a book called Under Heaven, which is a take on a fantasy version of one of the Chinese dynasties. It's not set in China, but it's basically transposed. It's good so far, and I'll eventually finish it if I have time. But I did read the first volume of a comic book called Morning Glories, which is crazy awesome, and it's kind of like... How did someone describe it? It's like Lost meets something else. It's sort of like a school. It's a school setting, and they're all there for a reason, but no one really knows why. And it's creepy, and it's awesome, and I absolutely recommend it. So.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yep.
All right. And as far as what we're watching, you and I are both watching Almost Human. So that's.
Yes.
Carl Urban's new series on Fox, and it's a futuristic police drama in which police officers are partnered with androids. Carl Urban is being partnered with an android who is much more human than other ones. He doesn't particularly care for androids, although he seems to be gelling with his new partner pretty well. What are you thinking of it?
I'm loving it, but to be honest, I will love anything with Carl Urban in it. So I might not be an unbiased source here.
That's true. But Carl Urban. There's only been two episodes, though.
Yeah. There have only been two episodes so far, but it's definitely worth checking out. It's a bit of a procedural, but there's still one of those overarching plots going on. I feel like it's sort of getting to be how Fringe was. The two leads are awesome. There's some awesome ladies. Actually, I cannot remember names to save my life, but the police chief is a woman, and that part was originally written for a guy. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. But, and one of the leads is an actor of color, which is also cool.
Yes.
And I thought by the second episode, the cast has already started to gel together really well, which you don't always see. So they're already finding their stride. The only thing I haven't really liked about it is the voiceover at the beginning of each episode. That's kind of sets up, you need to know all of this before you get started. And that felt a little odd to me. I know why they need it, but
they'll get over it eventually, probably.
Yeah. It also seems a little strange for it to be 2048. That doesn't seem far enough in the future to me, but
as long as it's in the future, you know.
It's true. But you're also watching Rain. You promised us a Rain rant.
Oh God. Oh God, it's so fucking awful. It's okay, so here's the thing. I knew it was gonna be bad. I knew it was gonna be bad. I knew it was gonna be a train wreck. I said that on our very first episode that it was, because it's on the CW and it's a quote historical show. Whatever. Unquote. So I knew it was gonna be horrible. I did not predict it was going to be this terrible. It's like they just picked some random names out of a history book. And the show, it's so off with the history that I would say all they got right were the names, but they didn't even get the names right. Because one of the big things about Mary Stuart, who was Mary Queen of Scots, one of the big things about her early life in France is that all four of her handmaidens / attendants / friends were all named Mary. I would like you to guess how many of them are named Mary in the show.
Well, and I understand why in the show you would want to differentiate them by giving them different names. But naming one of them Zoe. Because isn't one of them named Zoe?
No, it's worse than that. One of them is named Lola. One of them, let's see. Lola, Kenna, Greer, and Ailey.
Okay, all of which were... Okay, I thought one of them was Zoe, but no, that's worse. They're all names that nobody would have.
Didn't even try. They didn't even try. And the wardrobe is just as bad. It's basically they shopped it, like Anthropology and Forever 21, and rented a couple of designer costumes, which I'm not actually exaggerating. They rented some designer dresses and shopped at modern stores. And so I wouldn't mind if the costumes were historically inaccurate, if they were consistently inaccurate. However, the waistlines are all over the place. The necklines are all over the place. Sometimes they have sleeves. Sometimes they sort of go accurate. It's just, it's a giant clusterfuck of terrible. And that's my rant on Rain. And yet I keep watching it because it Oster when Downton Abbey would not load.
Okay. So, well, I'm done. I've been watching, I've actually been kind of binging Chuck on Netflix because it is finally, finally available on Netflix. And I, when it was on, I, you know, I liked it, but I only caught episodes here and there. So I was, I'm very excited. And so I just finished season two of Chuck and I am enjoying that very much. So what are you making?
Go watch Chuck on Netflix. I would say go watch Chuck on Netflix. Don't watch Rain. Yeah. But anyways, sorry, back to the actual original question. I'm working on my Katsucon costumes. It's progress, I guess you could say. I finished my Marisai Fell costume for good this time. Sort of bullshitted my way through a cape. Still don't know how I pulled that one off. I started on my Nymeria Sand costume from Game of Thrones. So I finished the design. I found some really pretty brocade, which I was really excited about, especially since I got it for cheap. And then I made the top, except now I have to fix the top because it doesn't fit very well.
Okay, Nymeria Sand, she's going to be one of the characters from the new season, and she's being played by the girl from Torchwood that was Susie?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Nope. No. Nymeria Sand is, she won't be in this season, but the girl you're talking about is Ilaria Sand, who is the paramour of Oberyn Martell, the Red Viper. Nymeria and the other girls who are collectively referred to as the Sand Snakes are his bastards. And they're all very much, yeah, House Martell, where we're going to be badass. So.
Okay.
Close, but not quite. Yep. What else did I do? Oh, I made the scarf for my Asha Odakar costume from Saints Row, and I made quote unquote progress on my new Mara Jade costume. It's a work in progress.
You've done a lot of sewing then.
I went to a Crafty Fun Times at one of my friends' houses the other weekend, and we just all worked for about 8 or 9 hours. So, well, got a lot done that week. Yeah, how about you?
I finally finished the cross-stitch project of Greater Doom. Yay. And you can find a picture of it on my Twitter feed, actually. So it's a very large nativity scene that took me a year to finish. So now I'm just kind of cross-stitching some Christmas ornaments and knitting dishcloths, just trying to do some little Christmas type projects and gifts and things. And this week I'm going to make Thanksgiving pies, and that's pretty much it in my wheelhouse this week. So, yep. So I guess now we're on to our main topic.
Our main topic, Marvel. Yes.
Marvel.
All the things are Marvel.
So what are we thankful for this month? Thor.
Oh, so thankful for Thor. Especially thankful for certain scenes.
Chris Hemsworth's biceps.
And his chest.
And although, his abs. I will say this. Was the scene of Chris Hemsworth washing completely gratuitous?
Yep. And it was beautiful. I'm not staring longingly into space right now thinking about it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, we're sitting in the movie theater watching and this comes on and I see out of the corner of my eye, my husband turns to look at me. And I'm trying not to look at him, but I'm also trying not too hard to look at the screen. Of course, you're also going, I can't look away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we got out of the theater, he goes, if that had been a woman, you'd have been pissed.
But that's the thing, though, is that actually I've seen this on Tumblr and people are like, oh, well, you would have been so pissed off. The point is, though, is that it's, I can't remember exactly how they phrased it. But it's if the character is only there to serve as eye candy and they are not a fully realized character outside of it, then it's problematic. If they are a fully realized character and are, you know, actually have depth and everything to them, then it's okay.
Well, I can understand why it was still a little because there was no point to that scene other than, damn, he's pretty. But you know what? Damn, he's pretty.
Oh, he was. I'm sitting next to my little when it happened, and all I hear, I go, oh, damn. Like, yeah. Everyone.
Oh. There was whistling in my theater.
Yeah. There was just lots of, oh, man, and mine. But there was actually more to the movie than Chris Hemsworth being shirtless and, you know, mostly naked.
That's true.
So I know it's shocking, but there was more to it.
So let's talk about the good.
Let's start with the awesome woman. The awesome, varied types of women in this film.
Can we talk about Rene Russo as Frigga?
Yes.
I love Frigga.
How amazing she was.
And you know what? She damn near took Malekith out. And I thought,
which is pretty badass.
That is pretty badass. And she still managed to hide. Oh, I guess we should have put like a spoiler warning on this, huh? But anyway.
That was a given. Yeah, we're spoiling everything Marvel right now, in case you couldn't guess.
But you know, there she is, and she's totally a fighter and nearly kicks his butt and is still managing to hide Jane during all of this. It was just great.
And I love that we got to see a woman protecting and helping out another woman, and it didn't take away from either character.
Yes. Yes. And it really, shows, I
mean, honestly,
Sif is not the only warrior woman in Asgard.
Nope.
Which I think was also important.
It sort of made me think of Lord of the Rings in its own way with Eowyn, on how there's that line from her about, there's some line from her in the books about, you know, shield maidens of Rohan, and how even
the women,
you know, like how not only that, you know, yeah, even not even to the carry to die upon the blades.
Yeah, even those who do not carry swords can still die by them. Something along those lines.
Something along those lines, but just how, you know, people, you don't necessarily have to be a, quote, warrior woman to still be able to defend yourself and to help other people. Because clearly, Frigga was more of the trickster type, seeing, you know, you saw her use her powers and everything, and that's much, you can tell where Loki got it from in a way.
Yes. And speaking of other awesome women, let's have the Darcy love.
Darcy's
best. Awesome. And I will say this, the Darcy fandom on Tumblr is some of the most awesome people you will ever meet. And I am part of Darcy Land and ship Darcy with all the things. So there's a huge group of people who ship Darcy with Hawkeye and Cap and the Hulk.
But she hasn't even met them, has she?
Does it matter? There is.
Never mind.
There are tags on AO3 that say Darcy is the fandom bicycle, and I love it.
I forgot that we were dealing with fandom here. My bad.
This is sure.
Continue.
But I love Kat Dennings anyway. She's fantastic. So
her character was very fun in this film.
Yes. And Loki. Let's talk about Loki.
I want people to stop asking for a Loki film, because this was your Loki film.
And
when you think about it, it was just as much his story as it was Thor's. So,
and the camaraderie between he and Thor, the banter that went back and forth through so much of the movie, was so hysterical.
But speaking of banter, can we discuss the best part of the movie? The best part was the spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Again, Captain America cameo.
Oh my gosh.
I'm
not sure that I didn't make a embarrassing noise when that happened, because I love Captain America, but then it's Chris Evans being Loki, being Captain America, and oh my gosh, it was perfect. It was wonderful.
All about freedom in the American way. My favorite part about that, though, is that apparently Tom Hiddleston showed up to set wearing the Captain America suit, and they're like, no, Tom.
And he wouldn't get out.
You don't actually need to be on screen.
I know. He's like, no, it's the only chance I get to wear it.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Would you take the Captain America suit off if you had the chance?
No. Of course not.
Exactly. I just liked that it was like a perfect cameo.
Yes.
It wasn't terribly, you know, it wasn't forced. It made sense in the plot of things.
Yeah.
Yes. It was fun.
And then Loki in general was just great. And I saw a really interesting Tumblr post today about Loki's fighting styles. Because Loki himself, they were talking about the way that he fights with a knife, because the way that he fights with a knife is something called an ice pick style, and it has generally been considered an amateur's way of fighting with a knife, unless you're really, really good, which Loki is, and you're getting really in close quarters combat, which he is. And then you can really truly be deadly with it. And so that was something interesting that I was reading about on Tumblr today. And then so he's using that kind of brute force as well as his magic. And so, you know, he is just as lethal as Thor in a completely different way.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And I also this felt like the first film to me where Loki actually truly felt like the trickster god the entire time. Because, yeah, in the first film, he let the frost giants into Asgard. That was a trickster move. And yes, he pulled a fast one on Odin and Thor and got Thor kicked out. But this, and then the Avengers, there wasn't even really attempts at having him be the trickster god. This is the one where we finally got to see him pull fast ones on absolutely everyone, and it made me so happy, because that's how Loki really is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Heimdall was wonderful.
The Pacific Rim crossover fic wrote itself in that. Come on, just tell me when he went and he took out a fucking alien spaceship with his sword, with his knives. Tell me you weren't thinking he was about to go jump in a Jaeger.
He totally could have. He totally could have.
It was writing itself. But yeah. I like that they're like, oh, so you like Idris Elba? Here, have some more Idris Elba in your film.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And I love the addition of Zachary Levi as Fandral. Mostly because
so perfect.
I love Zachary Levi, which is part of the reason that I'm mainlining Chuck right now, because he's just adorable. So
how can anyone not love him?
Well, I even used to watch him on it was the show with the redheaded girl, and he was kind of his character's name was Kip, and he was a jerk. But I still liked him. I don't remember what the show was.
I do not know what the show
was. It was like...
Whiz, but...
Oh, whatever. So what did we not care for?
The underuse of Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah. If you're going to have Christopher Eccleston, why didn't you use him?
I mean, to a certain extent, I get it. Because the villain is not really supposed to be the focus of the film. You know, the focus should be the heroes.
Yeah.
And I'll admit this is my adoration of the Ninth Doctor talking, but it would have been cool to see him in it a little bit more.
I think also it would have been better if they'd had him speaking more in English rather than Elvish. So, I mean, it's not that I didn't enjoy that or that it didn't make sense necessarily, but I think we would have gotten more out of the Christopher Eccleston elocutionary style most of his lines had been in English.
And I think it was okay. Like that part worked for me, because a lot of times what drives me crazy in films and shows is when people are speaking English for no good reason, especially when they have the mechanism to have them talking in a different language. I feel like that sort of adds more to it. But I can see where you're coming from.
Well, I mean, they don't speak a different language in Asgard. They don't even have Norwegian accents in Asgard. So, you know.
True. True.
Was the plot of the Dark Elves really the plot of this movie, or do we need to look at this as like the third part of an arc between Loki and Thor? The Thor 1 being part of it, part 1, the Avengers being part 2, this being part 3. This is all Shane's idea. So
yeah.
What do you think?
I think you need to look at it as being incredibly unique and as one large thing. Their storylines do continue on from film to film, regardless of what the overarching title is. So yeah, it makes sense that you continue to have the Thor and Loki story going on. I'd say that it's definitely a lot more about the relationship between Thor and Loki, but I think that the Dark Elves plot was just as much a part of it, because nothing in that film could have happened without them trying to destroy everything.
True. Okay.
What do you think?
I can see both points. I did feel like the Dark Elves could have been used more and could have seemed like more of a threat. They didn't seem like, I didn't get quite the urgency of the threat that you had in some of the other movies, but, you know, you've also had them nearly destroy New York. So yeah. It's kind of hard to get that same level of urgency.
That makes sense. And then I think for both of us, another thing we weren't thrilled about was the distinct lack of Hogan.
Yes.
Which sucked, because it's hard to have the Warriors 3 without there being 3 of them. However, I will say, in the filmmaker's defense, I've heard that apparently the actor had a bit of a schedule conflict, which would explain why they did this. I guess they didn't want to recast.
Which didn't really make sense, because they recast Fandral.
Yeah, I had heard that. And I mean, I don't know if it's a difference because Josh, what's his face, would have been too busy filming an entire TV show, whereas this actor might have just had some sort of quick, brief conflict. Like I said, I don't know. It sucked. You could always use more Hogan, because Hogan is fabulous and the Warriors 3 are fabulous. But yeah.
True enough. But really, I think that was the end of the bad. So
there was no ugly.
No, I don't think there was. But we do have some other. How did Loki get rid of Odin, and where is Odin now?
I think he's locked up. Supposedly, I heard that What's-His-Face said he was, Odin was dead. You don't, but here, this is Marvel. Like, you don't kill someone off screen. And even then, even the people tell you they're dead, you don't believe them. Because, again, this is Marvel. I mean, obviously, Loki came back in as the guard. And I think he managed to just, I don't know what exactly he did, but he got rid of Odin. And I think Odin is locked somewhere in a very, very deep, dark cell. To be determined where.
True. All right. Second question. If Erik Selvig is running naked around Stonehenge, how is Clint Barton coping with the after effects of the Avengers?
I can't even touch that one.
Well, because, you know, I'm just thinking about the Clint Barton that we see in the Hawkeye comic. And then thinking about all the times that the Clint Barton in the Hawkeye comic has ended up naked in interesting circumstances. And that could just be really funny.
He's probably watching out for aliens from afar or something.
He's probably on top of a building naked.
That's possible.
That is true. So what did you think about the post-credit scene?
Well, if we're talking about the first one, I flipped the fuck out because Infinity Gauntlet! We're working towards it! Which yes. Should be surprising to no one if you follow Marvel and watch the first post-credit scene in The Avengers. But we saw, how do you pronounce his name?
Benicio.
Yes, thank you. Clearly I take Spanish. Benicio del Toro, we saw him as the Collector, which was really cool because I was not expecting to get a Guardians of the Galaxy toss over. And we saw him as the Collector getting one of the Affinity Gems, which I don't know why they gave it to him, but I'm assuming it's going to be a plot point.
Yes.
And it was awesome because Infinity Gauntlet.
And now we know where two Infinity Gems are because obviously one is in Asgard's vault as the Tesseract. So.
It's interesting how they're handling the Infinity Gauntlet. It's not just, I like that it's neat how they're having the gems be actual different objects on their own instead of just being like the time gem, the space gem, and whatever all of them are called.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember right now.
So
I'll be interested to see where that goes.
Yes. The second post-credit scene cracked me up.
That was cute.
You know, Jane's going, no, Thor, you can't keep it. No, you cannot keep it. This is not a pet. And I just wondered, did Coulson come across that one and go, oh my God, why? Because the line about, I just wish Thor would send down the god of cleaning things up. Because surely he's got a magic broom. That was one of the best lines from this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode.
Yeah, that was a good line. And I think it's really cool how they're taking advantage of having the MCU and tying in the show to it. Because that's like really the first time you've ever seen something like this be done before. And it's neat that you see things have ramifications all across the line.
Yes, I agree. And speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., let's transition into that. You know, there has been so much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hate going on. And
people need to calm the fuck down.
They do. Especially the people who haven't been watching the show or watched like the first two episodes and went, eh, I don't watch it anymore. It's just stupid. And I wanted to beat them around the head because not every show can be Sleepy Hollow and be perfect from the very first moment. Because, you know, you pointed out that Whedon shows need a few episodes to really find their ground, like Dollhouse.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, that's sort of
Buffy
like
did too.
Buffy needed an entire season basically to find its footing, and I think that a lot of people came into the show expecting to see something else, and they're expecting it to be more of a Steranko sort of shield. But if you paid attention to the MCU before now, you would have realized that that's not the sort of shield this is. I think that what they're doing is exactly what I expected, more or less. I like that we're getting, as much as I would love to see, have the team just be all SHIELD agent characters that I know and love, I like that we get new characters.
Yes.
Because you get to expand upon the characters, and you get to really get to know them. And if anyone does not think that Melinda May is perfect, you're wrong. Melinda sit there in your wrongness and be wrong.
Pretty awesome. Which, speaking of last week's episode, what do you think about how last week's episode ended with Ward and May?
I think that can be interpreted multiple ways.
How are you interpreting
personally, I interpret it as they were both just trying to cope with things and drank a lot.
So you don't think there was any hanky-panky going on?
I'm sure I'll quite potentially get proved wrong. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's not how it read. It just was two people who needed to, they were the only two people who understood what was going on, and there was a lot of drinking.
Well, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of drinking, yeah.
I'm more focused on how the episode really, really ended, in which Mo and Jed, I can't speak properly, Mo and Jed, you sly bastards with that line. Because, I don't know if you guys are paying attention, the line went, "Did I fall asleep?" And the masseuse answered, "For a little while," which is exactly how they would, that was the call and response answer for when one of the dolls in Dollhouse would come out of being deprogrammed. You sly bastards with that.
Yeah. And the masseuse said, "This is a magical place," which is what Coulson has been parroting every time he talks about Tahiti.
Yep.
Yes. And one other thing I wanted to talk about was, it was going back to Melinda May, was I'm really looking forward to an episode about May and what's going on with her. Because there is obviously something that has gone on in her past that has really affected her. And I'm really looking forward to finding out what that is.
I think we're going to get that soon.
Yeah.
Because we've sort of been working our way through the cast the past couple episodes.
It's true.
What was it? Episode 5? Was that the one where Skye got in trouble and everyone had their disappointed mom faces on? Yeah, it was episode 5. That's where we got into Skye's background, or right, as much as we could. Episode 6 was a Gemma episode. Episode 7 was a Fitz episode. I would argue that 8, which is the one we just saw, was a Ward episode, since this is the first we've really gotten to see him.
Right.
And I think 9 is going to be Melinda May.
Oh, it's possible. It's certainly going to be interesting.
And I want to know why they call her the Calvary.
Yes. And I noticed that during the episode with Fitz, that as they came in, Ward looked up and went, "It's the Calvary." And of course, it was Melinda May in the bus.
Of course.
Which was perfect.
Can we talk about Fitz and Simmons for a minute? Because
oh my gosh, are they
6,
so cute?
She got infected. That broke my heart. I was not okay. Which I will argue that anyone who says that this isn't good should go back and watch episode 6, because
yes,
that was an excellent episode. I love them, that they're the perfect little brother and sister pairing, and they love each other so much, and just, oh, so perfect.
Yes. They're adorable. Yep.
It was good.
It was. And I, you know, I understand why people aren't necessarily enamored of Skye as a character. I think they just need to give her some more time. Because
I do too.
And I think the other characters are compelling enough. And obviously, what we're beginning to learn about Skye's background is helpful.
Intriguing.
Yes.
I'll admit, again, with Skye, I'm totally biased because...
You love Chloe Bennett.
Of reasons.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, it's Chloe Bennett. It's one of the first characters I've ever seen on the screen where it's a half-Chinese girl about my age. I mean, you don't see that. Every day, I'll fully admit to my bias, which, as a note, this is a show where the six main cast, it's half male, half female, and a third of it are Asian women.
Yep.
So.
Can I just say that the interplay between Melinda May and Coulson never fails to amuse me? When he went and talked to her and had his so-called conversation while she was doing Tai Chi, and she was just doing her Tai Chi and never said a word. And he just talked at her and then talked himself into whatever. And he left and she just kind of rolled her eyes. You know.
It's awesome.
It was perfect. So.
I love, I think it was also the episode that focused on Skye. I was like, this team is actually a family. It's where you have Fitz, Simmons, and Skye are all the kids who occasionally mess up. They're all very young. They're very inexperienced. They're the kids who mess up. Ward is the exasperated older brother. Coulson is dad, and Melinda May's mom. Because what other look can you describe May's face when she was at the door? It was like, put some clothes on to Skye, then disappointed mom face.
Yes. And, you know, speaking of them being a family, I think that I figured out what part of the reason that people have been hating on it. And I think it's missed expectations. There were so many people who were expecting kind of a plot-based show and, you know, more superheroes and things like that. And what they have gotten is a character-based show, which is what the Whedons, all of them, Joss, Jed, and Mo, are all really, really good at, are character-based shows.
Yeah.
And I think that...
And this would probably be a good... Go ahead. Sorry.
I think that may be why there's been such a disconnect between some of the audience and some of the... in the show, because their people were not getting what they necessarily expected.
Yeah, and I will say that we have to remember that this show is not just intended for the geek world.
Yes.
They throw in the geek references when they're able to, but that's not entirely what this is about. For example, thankfully my roommate will never listen to this and she cannot hear me. But because she would kill me if I told you all this. But she's not really that geeky, and she has gotten herself hooked on the show because she'll sit there while I'm watching it, and she really likes it. As in, she likes it enough that she went back and watched the episode that we missed this week all on her own. So I think that shows the show is appealing outside of, you know, like our demographic.
Mm-hmm.
But when you brought up the Whedons, I think this would be a very good time for us to note that Joss Whedon is not the person who's actually running the show here. The people who are actually running the show here are his brother and his sister-in-law, Jed and Marissa, and Jeffrey Bell.
Yes.
So, yes, it's a Whedon show. And yes, he's still serving as a producer, and I'm sure he has some input and everything, but make sure you give Joe and Matt... Why do I keep saying that? I'm just giving them their own ship name. Jed and Mo. There we go. I'm just going to start saying Jed and Marissa because that'll make it easier. Jed and Marissa do credit for what they're doing. And before you start just getting angry, just remember these shows take time. And if you need proof that this show, that they know what they're doing, go look at Dollhouse Season 2. It's an episode called Belonging. And you'll see how good this can be. Just give it time.
I agree.
And that's my second rant for the show.
Well, as this stuff goes into, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is part of Marvel Phase 2. What's coming up next? We've got, coming up next is The Winter Soldier. What do you think of the trailer?
I can't even. Winter Soldier, for those of you who don't know, is Captain America 2.
Yes.
I'm not going to make it through that movie. I love the Brubaker arc that it is based on so freaking much. I'm just probably going to curl up in a little ball and cry my way through the entire film. Except not really, because then I'll miss it. But
I haven't
I'm excited for it, needless to say.
I haven't even read the Brubaker arc, but I may have watched the trailer like 150 times or something along those lines. It's so good. I have completely fallen in love with Captain America. He's probably my favorite Marvel superhero right now. And I just... And that's probably mostly due to fandom, but I really don't care. I'm just so excited.
It looks like it's going to be really good. And we get to see the Falcon. We're getting Sharon Carter. There's going to be more. Lots of Black Widow, which
Everyone
who was like, oh, yay, Black Widow. I'm like, well, yeah, obviously she was going to be in this because you cannot do a Winter Soldier arc without Black Widow.
I bought Avengers wrapping paper at Walmart yesterday. And all the Avengers are on it except Black Widow. It's just the male Avengers. And that kind of irritated me. Because, I mean, even Hawkeye's on it. I shouldn't
be surprised.
Even Hawkeye's on it.
Oh, come on.
But Black Widow wasn't. I was like, that's not cool.
That's annoying. They should know better. And yet I'm not actually that surprised, unfortunately. But actually, when you brought up the not having read it yet, I'm going to link to the first volume for it, and it'll be in the show notes for anyone who's interested in reading the comics that go along with this.
Okay, cool.
So look at the show notes in a little bit.
Alrighty. Then afterwards, we will get Guardians of the Galaxy.
Huzzah!
Which is going to have some interesting voice actors. Vin Diesel is playing Groot.
I am Groot. Sorry.
And there's been some speculation. Will that be the only line he has? I am Groot.
Quite possibly.
And I can't remember who's playing the raccoon.
I don't know, but I don't even care because it's Rocket fucking Raccoon. It's a rocket with a raccoon with a machine gun. It's perfect. He's my favorite.
It's Brad Cooper. It's Bradley Cooper, according to Brian.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And Karen Gillan's one of the villains. Obviously, Benicio del Toro, I think, will be one of the villains. One of the things that I thought was good about the end of Thor was when the Asgardians went to the Collector, then that went ahead and established that this is not going to be existing in a world on its own.
They led with that at the end of the Avengers with the Thanos post-credit scene. I like that they're connecting everything.
Yes. Agreed. And, of course, there will be Avengers The Age of Ultron. And who is Ultron but the wonderful James Spader? Because who could be Ultron other than James Spader? I mean,
Alan Shepard is a defense,
Your Honor.
That's cool. I'm just very angry about what they've told us about Age of Ultron so far.
Because you want Hank Pym.
Well, here's the thing, is that we have seen every other founding Avenger but Hank and Janet. And that's not right. We should, they're founding Avengers. They deserve their due. we should have seen them in the film. And to say that, to turn this again into a Tony Stark, Iron Man centric thing and have him kind of like a slap in the face to the comic book history, it's wrong. Like I'm sorry, it's wrong, and it shouldn't be happening. We should get Hank Pym. And plus, if you went with the Ultimate side of things, which you should actually never really do in regards to Hank and Jan and the show, because, or the comics, because that's where you got all of the terrible abusive stuff. But in the one thing the Ultimates did right and cool was they made Janet an Asian woman. So had you made Ultron, you know, created by Hank Pym, like he's fucking supposed to be, you could have easily introduced Janet. And then by easily introducing Janet, oh, look at that. You can get a woman of color in the film universe of the MCU. And I just really fucking hate that it's Tony Stark making Ultron, because it's wrong. And I'm done. Rant 3.
Well, see, I'm not particularly looking forward to Ant-Man because I don't really like Hank Pym, but that's mostly because what I have read has been Ultimates, so I don't like Hank Pym because of the abuse stuff. Oof. So, you know, that's just me. You know,
not for Hank. That's terrible for Hank. Yeah. Hank and Jan.
Yeah. But then we're also going to be getting a Netflix miniseries with the Defenders.
Yay!
So I think that's going to be incredibly interesting. And I like the idea of putting it on Netflix. Netflix has been putting out some really quality television. I mean, if you think about House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, that's all been really quality dramas. And I think letting them take on some of the Marvel universe is going to be possibly really interesting.
Yeah, and if you miss the news, they're doing 4 TV shows about Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist. And then they're all going to lead up to a mini series of the Defenders. So basically, this is all like street level Marvel. It's really exciting if you're a fan of those characters, because I realized the other day there's a chance I might get to see Maya Lopez on the screen, which I never thought was going to happen. And they can fix the atrocity of the Elektra film.
Oh, and, please.
Yeah.
I say that being one of Jennifer Garner's biggest fans.
Oh, that movie was a clusterfuck.
But that movie was so bad. Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah. We try to pretend that didn't happen.
Let's just try and pretend Daredevil didn't happen either.
Yeah, all the Evanescence music in the background.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I just took that part out of my memory.
Mm-hmm. Just when it's gone, I bring it back.
Oh.
Cue up Bring Me to Life, guys. You know.
Stop it.
I am a terrible person.
Oh. You really are.
I know. But, and the other, you know, on the happier, not making Emily cry news, it's probably going to be really awesome. And again, seeing how they've done this with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're probably going to, I'm sure we're going to see a decent amount of tie-in, as I would not be surprised to see random, different cameos from, like, maybe even Black Widow. I could see that happening since she has a lot of interaction.
Not necessarily be surprised to see Defenders then pop into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's definitely a possibility down the line.
You know, I think that would be interesting. And I meant to say this, but I would also not be surprised next season to find Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. move to a different time slot. And the reason...
Because of NCIS?
Because of NCIS. Because even with Cote DePablo leaving NCIS, NCIS is still holding on to the number one spot in the ratings. And putting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. up against it was... I mean, that's putting it up against real, really difficult competition. So I would not be surprised to see it move to a different time slot next year.
I was surprised they put it there to begin with, to be honest.
Well, I mean, if anything could have competed with it, I think it might have been that. But, and I don't know what the numbers are on, you know, people who are watching it on ABC the next day or later that week in the DVR numbers. Mm-hmm. I've seen overnight figures.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
I could see it.
Yep. Well, I believe it is that time for people to ask us anything, if they have anything to ask.
So that's you, chat.
That's you, chat.
We're probably opening ourselves to ridiculousness. Random,
horrible questions, I'm sure.
But yeah, I think the gist of our conversation, though, is that we're both pretty happy with how the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going so far.
Okay, Brian has a question for us.
Yes.
This is actually a... this is a question for you because I have not seen the Hunger Games movie. The Hunger Games, what was the best cameo? Seneca Crane's beard or the Marriott lobby?
Actually, it was not the Marriott lobby that was in that film. It was the external of the elevators, the inside of the elevators, and the 10th floor of the Marriott. Yes, I know these things. It's ridiculous. Seneca Crane's beard was a pretty good one, but I think I'm biased enough that I have to say the Marriott was pretty awesome, even though they did not have the terrible carpeting.
By the way, did you see that the guys that cosplay as the Marriott carpet got a cease and desist letter?
Yeah, that happened a while ago.
That sucked.
Well, it's okay. It's not for the costumes. It's because they put the fabric on Spoonflower and then they were selling it from there. They didn't want the pattern to go for. So they can still make their costumes and wear their costumes. They just can't sell the pattern because it's too close to a copyrighted thing that the carpet company has.
Okay. That's interesting.
But yes, the carpeting did not. The carpeting did not make it into the film. This might be a good time since I haven't embarrassed myself in the podcast yet, more or less. Some of my various friends may have helped convince me that I should do a Joanna Mason costume, in particular the one where she's in an elevator stripping. They've all assured me, just to clarify, I am in fact going to do the actual costume. And I've been assured that they're not going to let me do it while I'm drunk. Or at the very least, they will bail me out and they will make ridiculous faces in the background behind me. But yes, DragonCon next year.
Okay. We also have, what's the best film of 2013?
Pacific Rim.
I really enjoyed Pacific Rim. Of course, I'm trying to think, what did I see in 2013?
That's always a problem.
Yeah.
But while you're thinking, I will say that I think Thor: The Dark World is my favorite superhero film of 2013.
It was really good. When I did finally see Pacific Rim, it was really awesome.
He told you so.
I think I'd actually have to go ask Shane what I saw this year to find out. But I didn't see a whole lot of movies in Fair theaters enough. This year. I know that it was not Iron Man 3.
Oh, God, no. Don't get me started on that.
Nut asks, Marvel Now, which one should she be reading?
You should definitely be reading both of Bendis's X-Men books, so All New X-Men and Uncanny X-Men. You should be reading Hawkeye, obviously, but she already is. You should also be reading Mark Waid's Indestructible Hulk, which was the very surprising, excellent book for me. And I think those are my top few, unless we're talking about the forthcoming Marvel Now, in which case I'll not say anything until I have an actual list of everything that's starting in front of me.
I have been asked, Shane or... The Pillow Captain America, and there was a link provided to a Captain America pillowcase for a standard size body pillow, which has very nice Captain America art, I will admit. But given that Shane and I already share our bed with three cats, and Shane's pretty comfy in his own right, I'll take Shane.
Probably a good call.
Over. Oh, and he has just popped his head up to go, you're going to take me over what? A Captain America pillow. Favorite book of 2013?
Kenobi.
Kenobi. I didn't read Kenobi. I even had an arc and I didn't read Kenobi.
But you read Crucible? Emily.
This is your podcast Crucible. Engineer cutting in to say, what in the world, Emily?
I didn't read Razor's Edge either, and I had an arc of that too.
Oh,
I know, I'm a horrible do you person.
Do you have a copy of Kenobi?
She just said she has no. Work.
You don't God. Have a copy.
No.
Okay, that's going to be your Christmas present from me this year.
I'm fairly certain that my favorite book of 2013 has not come out yet. And it will be Terry Pratchett's new book, Raising Steam, and it should be out probably Tuesday, I think.
But you didn't read Kenobi. Emily.
I know.
Emily, you're breaking my heart. You're going down a path I cannot follow.
Oh, shut up.
You're welcome for the Padme impression.
I hope you lose the will to live.
Well, thanks. Maybe I just might if I go read Kenobi again. God damn it.
You're terrible.
A little bit.
Favorite costume of the year?
That I saw or that I made? Or that some awesome artist designed and had for the comic books? Any clarification? Any. Helpful. Thank you.
What's the favorite costume that you made?
I'm a little biased at the moment, so I'm going to go with my gender swap Tendo Choi.
The gender swap Tendo Choi was really awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was either that or the Razor's Edge Leia I made, because that went over really well with the internet.
Yes, it did. What about that you saw somebody else make?
Jesus, I don't even know. I saw a really cool Ultron at Dragon Con. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't even remember what the hell I saw. How about you? See any cool ones on the internet this year?
I'm thinking. My brother-in-law did a truly frightening scarecrow.
Ooh.
That was based on my husband's truly frightening scarecrow. And part of the reason that my brother-in-law did it is because my husband is no longer allowed to. So there was that. Other than that, I don't think I saw a whole lot of costumes that really stuck with me this year. I saw a couple of good Hawkeyes though. And a couple of them posed in the Hawkeye Initiative pose, which was hysterical.
I did see that.
So. And I think that's it for questions.
I think so too. Which means we can wrap this up.
All right. That's it for this month's show. This episode of Women of Odd Enthusiasms has been brought to you in part by Audible.com and Her Universe. If you enjoyed it, let us know by commenting on the blog post or leaving us a rating on the podcast at the iTunes store. You can also contact the host by tweeting us at ChaosBria and at CarKickStore. And of course, you can always keep up with what we're doing and what's going on in the galaxy far, far away by keeping an eye on Tashi-Station.net. Women of Odd Enthusiasm is part of Tashi Station Radio Network and is a Majestic Jap. It's a Majestic Giraffe production. Oh my gosh. Join us next month for a special Sherlock Holmes themed episode and a special contest and giveaway. We will see you next month.